Morning, Dharma friends. We'll begin in just a moment. So, good morning again, Dharma friends. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning and to share some time, again, immersed in the Dharma. My name is Tara, and this morning I was reading a quote by the great American writer Maya Angelou, and it struck me. And the quote is, "You may not be able to control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them. You may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them." And this morning, I want to touch on a theme that Chaz had touched on earlier in the week in a daily Dharma session, in which she pointed to the fact that in fact, in our practice, over time, what we see is that we don't actually control any of the experiences that are happening, are coming up and arising in our bodies and our minds moment to moment. This is a truth that we see. And we also get caught in a cycle of actually just reacting to those experiences, not knowing, not being in touch deeply with the truth of this uncontrollability and the unreliability and impermanence of our experience. We have the habit of reacting to the pleasant and unpleasant, being reduced by them in a way, as Maya Angelou was pointing to, reacting to them and in a way that causes suffering. So if it's pleasant, we want to cling to it. We want it to continue to not go away, to not be impermanent. If it's unpleasant, we have the habit of reacting and pushing it away. If it's neither pleasant or unpleasant, we have the habit of spacing out on that experience, not noticing it, and then not seeing the truth. So this morning, what I want to point to is a wisdom component of our mindfulness practice that supports the letting go, again, that Chaz was pointing to earlier in the week, that supports our developing a different habitual response to our experience and supports our ability to see these truths of impermanence and unreliability and uncontrollability more and more, so that we can then learn to live in a more aligned way with these truths. So this can actually be such an empowering part and fruit of our mindfulness practice. Because again, we don't have to be reduced to just responding and reacting to our experience. And we can, when we have that space of not identifying with our experience. So this is the wisdom component I want to point to. It is the non-identification component of mindfulness practice. When we have that space, we have more of a freedom to choose to respond in a way that's aligned with our values and that's based in wisdom and compassion. So non-identification, what am I pointing to there? What am I referring to? It is that shift of our relationship to our experience where we are not falling into the habit that we have of taking our impermanent experience to be mine or my. So we're really actually engaging in that little bit of effort just to drop that habit of thinking of experiences that are really just arising and passing impermanently in the body or in the mind as my or mine. In fact, they are impermanent, so we can't own them. So what we do is we bring that wisdom into our practice. And so we can consciously do this and be very helpful to the deepening of the practice. So for example, you know, with our bodies, just to take an example, we often practice with mindfulness of the breath. So in noticing the breath, we can shift our attention, our focus from thinking of that experience of the breath as my breath to just the breath. And then the experiences of the body that we take to make up, we take to be the breath, you know, A moment of, say, warmth in the breath or coolness or pressure, we shift that relationship to just not identify with it and think, oh, just warmth is happening right now, or just coolness, or just pressure, not my breath, my warmth, my coolness, or my pressure. And similarly, with the mind, the experiences of the mind, you know, we can often notice that thinking is happening or planning is happening, those kind of cognitive functions of the mind, but also emotions like joy or sadness. We shift our relationship to that experience. And instead of engaging just in that habitual response of, oh, it's my thinking or my planning or my mind thinking or my mind planning, we just notice thinking is happening right now, or planning is happening right now, or sadness is happening right now, or joy is happening right now. And that's the way in which we just shift into this non-identifying approach, relationship to our experience. It's a very different relationship, and it's a fundamental shift that happens with mindfulness. And just one little other sort of tip or suggestion, you know, if there's a difficult experience of the mind, like an emotion or, as I mentioned, sadness or, say, frustration or anger, so we can notice, again, it's just happening right now. And it's often helpful in, to the non-identification to touch in to notice how that feels in the body. It's often manifestations are of emotions in the body. So just, you know, noticing that difficult emotion may be there, sadness, and touching it, oh, now it feels like this in the body. Now it feels like this. So I just want to invite you now to drop into the mindfulness practice, and we'll explore a little bit around non-identification and bring that in as a focus of the practice. But just gently, allowing the mindfulness practice to unfold naturally. So inviting you then just to rest into the meditation posture. I'm inviting you to notice first if there are any areas of tension in the body. I'm just noticing for a moment, is the mind taking that to be my tension, or just, is it just noticing tension? Or any experience that might be noticed along with that tension, there could be some pain or some burning, tightness. Just allowing for the space to hold that experience and not to see it as mine. Just tension or tightness. And now inviting in relaxation to those areas. And doing so, notice if there's a shift or a change in that area. Again, touch into, is the mind relating to that experience as mine? Is there, if there is softening, is it just that softening is happening? Or is the mind taking it to be my softening? My relaxing, just allowing it to happen and noticing any shifts or changes in those areas of the body. If you are noticing something that's arising in the jaw or the neck or the shoulders as you're inviting in relaxation, or some other area of the body, you can also notice, is the mind seeing this as my neck, or my jaw, my shoulder? Just invite in that shift of attention, that shift of relationship to experience, where it's just that area of the body we call the jaw, or the shoulder, or the neck. not my jaw, my neck, or my shoulder. And I'm shifting the attention to encompass more of the whole body. And we can acquire again. Are we relating to the body as my body, or simply noticing the body here in the meditation posture? And oftentimes when we notice the body, we're doing it primarily through the stronger sensations, the more predominant sensations. So it may be, you know, feelings of pressure where the seat is on the cushion or the chair, or the feet on the floor, or the hands touching. So now allowing our mindfulness, our awareness to rest with those areas for a few moments. You might notice various pleasant or unpleasant experiences in those areas. See if you can just notice them without this identification, a non-identifying approach. Not my hands or my pressure or my feet. Just the sensations that are there, rising and passing. Now, so many of us use an anchor for our mindfulness practice of the breath. So you can feel free to stay with noticing the body if that is your practice. Or if you do use the anchor of the breath, just inviting you to open to the awareness of that flow of sensations we call the breath. Inviting you to notice the breath as flow of sensations happening on its own, rather than as my breath. In any given moment, what we take to be the breath may actually be any of many, many different kinds of physical sensations. So movement, or tightness, or warmth, or softness. Just noticing if there's any habit of the mind to see these shifting and changing experiences as my or mine. Inviting a letting go. Just noticing moment to moment the sensations, the flow of sensations we call the breath. And of course, from time to time, the mind wanders. or it experiences hearing. Or it experiences a different bodily sensation that takes it away from the anchor. And with these experiences too, noticing them as they arise and pass and experience as simply present here and now. So if thinking arises, it's just thinking is happening. If hearing arises, it's simply hearing is happening. If there is some sensation of the body that calls the attention, itching or pleasantness or pain, simply noticing. Itching is happening right now. Pleasantness is here. Pain or discomfort is here. And allowing the mind to hold it, that space, that non-identification. This is the opposite of the clinging to our experience that keeps us caught in cycles of suffering. We are gently and slowly and with tremendous care and compassion training the mind relate out of non-reactivity and non-identification. Just allowing the experience to shift and change. Without any holding on. Just noticing too, if there is any joy, delight, or ease that arises as we drop our habit of identifying, being in contention with, or trying to cling to experience. This greater ease and joy, simple, subtle joy that arises from not identifying with our experience. It's really what compels us to keep coming back to the mindfulness practice, knowing that we can create completely different relationship to our experience that's onward leading towards freedom. We do not have to be reduced to any of our transient, ephemeral experiences. We don't have to be reduced to reacting to those experiences. We can create the space, our mindfulness practice, our non-identification and our non-clinging, to open to much deeper freedom in life. So thank you, friends, again, for sharing this time with me, immersed in some moments of mindfulness and in the Dharma. Look forward to sharing some time with you again later this month.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.